Okay, we'll continue talking with Jim Sparks, but we'll take phone calls with you and him this hour as well, right here on Coast to Coast AM. Jim Sparks, they're lining up to talk with you, but I still have a few quick questions here. As at what point did you pick up on the message,
sure,
what they wanted with you?
It was when they realized I wasn't going to kill them or tear the ship up. There was a mass abduction. I had found myself in a clearing in the woods. There was a pile of people standing under me, about a dozen or 15. To my left was two more piles of people with a gray standing in each group. I was standing up. They were in people that were primarily mostly paralyzed. The first telepathic message to me was calm them. There was a guy standing up. He was able to stand. There was one other than me standing, but mostly paralyzed. And I was telling him he was going to be okay. He was going to be fine. The sickness or the nausea, his feeling will pass. That he was feeling will pass. There was a woman laying on the ground, and she was in the fetal position rocking. And I put my hand on her shoulder, and I was telling her she was going to be fine, not knowing what was going on, because here again, you'd get no advance notice, at least in those days, as to what was about to proceed.
Sure.
I went into a little bit of detail as to what they did with me, and then the next telepathic voice was, no, you're telling her too much, just calm her. I calmed her. And it was an overcast evening. The clearing in the woods was about the size of a football field. There were three lights glowing in the horizon. They were ships. One, real quick, came over my pile of people. The second one hovered real quick and came over the second pilot group of people, and the third one came over the third group of people. When it descended through the clouds, the one over my group descended first. Everything was orderly. I saw for the first time what one of their craft looked like from the outside. A beam of light, a white, bright beam of light with a hue of blue, cast itself over myself and my group of people. And then a white beam of light came out of the second and the third ship over those piles of people. That was a mass abduction. That was a gathering point, or one particular gathering point for a mass abduction that ended up having nearly 1,000 people on board. It was phenomenal. When the light was beaming out and I was looking at the craft, it was spherical. It had a dome on the top, but it had an egg-shaped droop on the bottom of it, and around that egg-shaped thing were windows. This is where I started seeing military personnel, and these abductions, as they later went on, military personnel working with grays, hiding their faces from me, a lot of them with rank, telling me the story. But anyway, in this particular scene, this is where it all started opening up. As that light beamed down, I walked forward from that pile or group of people, and I had my arms in the air, and I was just screaming out, "It's beautiful, it's beautiful. They're all beautiful." And then I blacked out. When I had regained consciousness, I found myself in a corridor with all these people that were on the ground standing up. They were zombie-like. And the next telepathic instructions to me were, lead them. And in front of me in this corridor, when I took a step, the group of people took a step. When I stopped, they stopped. So whatever I did, they did, and they were completely out of it. They were mostly naked or in their night clothes, so you could see that these people were pulled while they were sleeping. The corridor opened up to this humongous room about the size of a basketball gymnasium. It was lined up with rows and rows and rows and rows and rows of monitors, hundreds of them. At the end of this room were grays, military personnel scurrying around, messing around with instruments, mass abduction. The next telepathic instructions to me were to seat them. I took the first person that was near me and put his hand on top of mine, which was on top of mine while I was walking the group anyway, and went all the way down to the end of the one row, sat him down in his cubicle where there was a monitor, not still knowing what the hell these people were up to or these beings. As I started walking halfway back, I stopped to look again. I wanted to see what the hell was going on. So I started looking at everything in detail, the human beings, the grays, like, what is going on in this place? And then the telepathic voice strongly said, no. I kept looking, and it kept going, no, no, one-word commands. I disobeyed. I blacked out. When I came to, I found myself seated in front of a monitor and several hundred people, up to 1,000, during that blackout period, were seated in front of their monitors. The room lit up in one glow, so you could tell that every monitor was had the same visual on it, like going to when they sell televisions and there's 20 TVs in the glass window. You could see it was all at the same time. There was a hum. And by the way, I should mention that there were lines hooked into each one of us, either in our calves, or it was hooked into the back of our arms, which I think explains a lot of scoop marks. These lines were feeding something into us to make us extremely attentive, extremely emotional, and extremely attuned and alert to color and emotional stimuli. But there was a reason for it. Now the pictures started coming into place. The first scene that appeared on all these monitors was just a drop-dead, gorgeous, beautiful Earth scene that absolutely took your breath away. It was the ocean. It was blue as blue could be, turquoise blue. It was teeming with fish.
A pristine planet.
Yes, the air was, like, perfect. And all you could do, no matter who you were, even if you were a non-emotional individual, from what was hooked into you and from what you've seen, and you knew that that was from way in the distant past, all you could do was go, God, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. You almost wanted to cry with its beauty. There was a hum, a three-second blackout on the screen, and then another Earth scene would come up, and I remember the second one specifically. It was mountains in the background with snow on the top of them, beautiful trees. It was a gorgeous lake. And again, you're just going, oh, my God, it's so beautiful. And it was one beautiful Earth scene after the other after the other. Then the Earth scene started getting ugly, where the ocean was beautiful. It was a dingy gray where the fish were teeming and alive, filled with energy. They were bloated, floating on top of the water. The air was bloated. And the reverse happened to you. Now, but as each one of these uglier Earth scenes started appearing, the telepathic loud in your head said, as each scene came on, you're killing your planet. Your planet is dying. You're killing your planet. Your planet is dying. When I blacked out towards the end of that, and I hated it. Of course, everybody that was watching it hated it. But what I didn't know at the time, what I do know now, because I've seen these things many times over, is they're enhancing your awareness of the condition of the planet, what it was, where we're going, and what you can do when in the globe when it reaches critical mass as to solve the problem. There is a plan, there is a solution, and there is a way to do it. When I regained consciousness again, I was in this thing akin to a locker room. And in this locker room area where clothes were sprawled all over the place, people were moaning and groaning and crying because whatever tubes they had stuck in their arm or whatever stuck in their calves or their legs just scared them. The telepathic instructions to me, again, were to calm them. And I was walking up to different individuals saying that, look, any cut or any wound you get on board here heals fast. The memory is taken away from all these. The physical memory of what took place is taken away except for what was ingrained or enhanced and planted in these people's minds. On a more humorous note, before the end of this experience, mass abduction, the telepathic voice said to all of us, nobody leaves, and I'll never forget, it was funny. Nobody gets to leave until they find their exact clothes. Well, you've never seen so many people switch from gear from moaning and groaning to scurrying all over the place and clothes flying in the air to wanting to find their clothes. And then we were brought back. Okay, now, approximately within a few weeks or a month later, I get pulled again. Now, you can see how this is evolving, correct, George? Now we're in the seventh year, the eighth year.
Right. There's a pattern to this.
Oh, God, yeah, and it gets great. That's why, look, I formed a foundation. It's in its infancy. It's called Your Earth. We're putting together a thing called a pack, where if people with interest in this, what I've learned about abductees, and when I do lectures and I talk, what I've learned, George, is I ask these questions. I go, if I say to you the rainforest, what comes to mind? And it, almost every one of them, without exception, has this deep wanting in them to do something about it. It's as if it's implanted in all of us that have had these abduction experiences, that acutely aware, acutely sensitive. And I know there's a plan, and that this is where the reptilian thing is going to come in, and I don't want to sound scary with them, but it was fascinating what interaction there. But I did put together on the when I wrote the book, and when we did the DVD that Linda Howe was talking about earlier,
we
put that together, so not only can you read and learn, it's on the gym-sparks.com or the gym-sparks.com, but there'll be a place in there. We did a special put together for your program, so it's a lot less money, and they can get a picture of what the story is in detail and what one can do. But later on, I got pulled again, and see, these things are involved. I'm going to do the best I can to get in with the time we got, George.
And we've got people stacked up to talk with you too, Jimmy.
I'll talk about this one thing, and then we can go for that.
All right.
I find myself again, this time in what appeared to be an abandoned carnival yard. I don't think a carnival had anything to do with it. It was at night. When I regained consciousness, I was standing up, and there was an old dilapidated roller coaster. There were about 9 to 12 beings, and they were totally different from the grays that I had ever seen, ever seen. They were anywhere from 7 to 9 feet tall. They had huge, broad shoulders and a broad chest. They were just big, and they had scales on them. And I even commented, I said, oh, my God, you have scales. Now, what people commonly refer these things to as reptilians, but these things were benign and kind. They had emotions. As I was standing there, the 9 or 10 of them were staring at one of them, transmitting his thoughts to this one being, and he created a hologram of a human face in front of his face so he could talk to me without me being scared as to how they looked. Because their brains protruded over their brow, and the scales were on top of that, and they were kind of lumpy, so they had a scary appearance. Even though it didn't scare me, I'd seen so many things. And the first thing they came out and said was, after all these years, that you had to go through what you went through so you can fully understand and appreciate what we're doing here. We went to global leaders. We went to world leaders. We went to people in power. They did the right protocol. We gave technology to stop using nuclear weapons, biological weapons. We gave free energy devices. We gave energy for your longevity. We gave energy, I mean technology for your longevity. I didn't mean to say energy. I meant technology for energy. We gave the technology for to clean up your sea, to clean up the rainforest, and all this stuff. And what the power people did with this stuff around the globe was made weapons and made money with this stuff. So they completely dishonored the agreements. They went on further to say that, unfortunately, and their hands had nothing to do with this, they went on to say that these people have been maimed, murdered, and killed in the last 50, 60 years for the sake of national security, to keep this stuff secret. They had nothing to do with it. And then the next thing out of their mouth, or out of his telepathic brain mouth, so to speak, while this hologram was moving them lips that were not in sequence with the telepathic things he was saying, which was kind of funny, was the fact that the cure-all for this thing is amnesty. And I had never heard of any disclosure programs at that point. I told you I didn't read on any of this thing. Complete and 100% amnesty, meaning that totally 100% forgivable, not forced disclosure, but amnesty, to create an avenue where people in black ops, people in sanctioned and non-sanctioned agencies who keep this technology secret, legally and illegally, in both cases, a lot of this stuff is tied to a lot of our defense, and a lot of our technologies that are 20, 30, 40 years out there that the general public cannot know,
right,
that they do not want to disclose. So what they want to see is to create an avenue that if they come forward with the things that will help the human species to evolve, that there will be no recourse. Because what the main concern is, and again, because of time, I haven't been able to get into this. I've had abductions in underground bases with military personnel. I've had abductions with above ground bases with military personnel, with these different groups of aliens involved. They've never hidden their face. They've never hidden their rank. They've been very clear about that there's a growing majority that wants to come forward with this stuff to rescue this planet. However, what they're afraid of more than anything is, what will you do to me? And this amnesty would stop them from being prosecuted. It would stop them from being convicted. Full 100% forgivable amnesty. Not for spiritual reasons, but more for practical reasons. Now, what phenomenalized me, and again, that's a word I made up, but was the fact that when I started speaking at these conferences, people would say, well, have you ever heard of what this group is doing? Did you ever read about what this group is doing or what that group is doing as far as disclosure is concerned and so forth? And so finally, I dabbled into it before we put the Your Earth thing together and the pack that we're doing, that for people who have an interest in doing something in a voice, and we're not going to be politically radicals, but we're going to do it, and we're doing it in a legitimate way. What I saw were the words in their mission statements on a lot of these things were like almost the exact word-for-word stuff that these beings had said. I've since then interacted with so many different ETs, and it's evolved to the point where I don't get pulled like I used to. I'm told where to go. I meet them in secluded places. The craft will come down. Maybe another show, George, to get into that detail. But however, what I'm seeing is something very similar in words that floored me to what these guys had to say with these scaled-like creatures, okay, that are obviously working in conjunction with these grays. What they also went on to say was a lot of human beings are using the technology to get their way with women, bad people, raping and stuff like that, and mimicking themselves as what we would call a reptilian, and that's why they're getting a lot of the bad rap. But fascinatingly enough, and because they're emotional, they had feeling, all the little personal things they said. But anyway, this there's a lot of similarities. But what I'm seeing here is where we're going to be a little bit different is Your Earth is going to concentrate on the rainforest. Your Earth is it's a mission. Its intentions are to buy Amazonian and rainforest land. The next step is, and I got this from not just Jim, so bear in mind that it's high intelligent beings from other worlds, to put in on this property the Indians that are indigenous to this land, to be stewards of it. The third part of these instructions is for the ones who've been thrashing and burning it for inadequate housing and not rotating crop, and they keep going, for their labors in restoring this stuff, the rainforest and Amazonian land, they get a plot of land, and they're taught how to farm it properly. It's given it to them for their labors in restoring, also adequate housing. Now, where this involves the amnesty is, this will be the first time that the globe or the human species on a global basis will have a hands-on project to turning something environmentally around. What these people in Black Op are going to see, and what these people in the sanctioned and non-sanctioned agencies know, that there's technologies to speed up this process. They want to come out with this.
So it seems, though, that this was all tied into some kind of save the planet movement over Absolutely. All these years. All right, Jim, stay with us. We'll be back in a moment. As promised, your phone calls when we come back. Man, I can't believe how fast this week has been buzzing by. On the next program, of course, it'll be our Friday into Saturday night program. We're going to have a great secret guest for you first hour. And then, of course, open lines. So get ready. Okay, let's go to the phones with our guest, Jim Sparks. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hey.
Yeah, go for it.
All right. Well, my name's Chase. I'm from Arkansas. And okay. I'm traveling through Alabama right now. And I basically want to talk to you about this thing that's kind of been happening to me for the past couple years. It started out, I'm laying in bed with my girlfriend. And so basically I think she's, you know, like touching me. So I wake up, right? Mm-hmm. And I wake up, she's not touching me. and I kind of see this thing hide behind a bookshelf in my room. And I can't, it's really hard to describe, but it's kind of like it notices that I notice it, you know? Mm-hmm. And it doesn't really take like any kind of like alien form, shape, or anything like that. It's the only way I can really describe it is kind of like a nervous system, except it's kind of made out of, like maybe dead sticks or something, you know, and it's kind of limber. And so it's kind of, you know, it sees it, I see it, it's kind of pulsating and coming towards me. And so at this point I'm sitting up and I'm pointing at it and, you know, asking my girlfriend if she sees it, and I'm kind of freaked out, you know. And then finally it just gets right in my face until, you know, I basically just scream, and then it's gone.
Well, don't hang up the phone for a second, because I want to ask a question. Have you ever had UFO sightings?
No.
Okay. Have you ever had trauma in your life where trauma meaning that maybe something close to your death, or have you ever had where you were abused? And I'm not trying to say people that are abused see things, but something where that high trauma in your life in those areas?
Nothing really comes to mind, no.
Okay. Well, the reason I ask that is because what I've learned over the years, because these grays in particular use a technology to travel from one dimension to the other. Earlier in the show, I had mentioned, Chase, that I have seen other entities in these places. Also, what I've learned over the years is that people who've been traumatized or been sometimes sexually abused and that kind of trauma, it's like they're traumatized to the point where they actually leave this reality temporarily to cope with it. And then they connect with other beings that may be in another reality or another dimension, and sometimes these things keep coming back. I know that in the early years also, that's why I asked you those questions. Also, in the early years that I went through the abduction scenario, in essence, it's kind of the way that started off for me. It was dreamlike at first, and then they started making these appearances. But I don't want to make a judgment call, but what I think I'm hearing here is that you're having some kind of interaction with another interdimensional being that for some reason has some interest in you.
It does not sound to me like it's an extraterrestrial, Jim.
Right, exactly, an interdimensional being.
Yeah, something else is going on there.
I agree with you, George.
Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
What do I start with?
At the beginning.
Right. That could be a long story. I was listening to your, this whole thing. I said, this is Elizabeth from New Mexico, by the way. Forgot to say that. It hit a lot of nerves for me with that. I'm really nervous right now. And it's having weird stuff like this, what you've been talking about, kind of going on since I was at least five. And lately it's been kind of getting, I wouldn't say worse, but I've been more remembering things lately.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering, have you ever seen ones that are robed? Do you know what kind they are?
Did you say robed?
They're short. I remember seeing them. It was mainly when I first moved here, and I was about 14 or 15. They were kind of robed, and something was there, but those ones stopped for a while. Now I've been seeing what you're describing, you know, as grays, like last night. But
so you've been abducted on a regular basis then?
Yeah.
In Did you? Who you said your name was Elizabeth?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, okay. For starters, have I seen robed beings? Yes. 95% of interaction has been with what are commonly referred to grays. Probably what would take up almost three to the other 5% would be what are commonly referred to as reptilians, different species. And on occasion, I have seen human-looking beings that do wear robes. But then later on, you said that as things have evolved in your abduction experiences, that you're starting to have memories of grays. So now I'm going to ask you, like I asked the other gentleman, Chase, Elizabeth, when I bring up something like the rainforest or when I bring up something like environmental woes, do you feel led in any way or you feel like you may be on a mission or something like that where you feel like when a day may come where there's something you can do about these things or be a part of helping out?
Well, since I was a kid, I've always been about nature and stuff. I actually had a lot of weird experiences. I used to live in California, and I could almost like feel earthquakes before mm-hmm. they happened, mm-hmm. and I get really sick after them. And I've always been one for my friends trying to get me into PETA, but PETA's a little too extreme.
Do all abductees, Jim, have that feeling like you do about ecological help?
I'm seeing that, George. I really am. As a matter of fact, because of the shortage of time, I'm usually, I guess, I don't know the word coy. I'd be a bit more coy or subtle,
yeah.
where I would just ask certain questions that don't appear to be leading in that direction. But what I'm finding, better than 95% of the time, there seems to be a passion for it. And it does not surprise me from what I've seen over the years. And it's a lot of the reason I ask it. Again.
So you're saying Al Gore's been abducted?
It's very possible.
You never know.
You know, it's very, very possible they take the physical memory away. A lot of the interactions are, they can be really, really pleasant. Here's another thing I've learned in line with this. That's why I ask, have you seen UFOs? This is what I mean by this. Let's say you're a person that's driving along in your car, and you literally see a physical UFO. You don't know yourself as being an abductee, nothing of that nature. Now, I know through experience, and others will tell you, that these beings can manipulate time. They have the technology to do it. Henceforth comes the term missing time when it comes to abductions. So in some cases with sightings, because I've seen this and experienced it with my own eyes, these people have been abducted. They're on board, and the process may go on for an hour, 2 hours, or more. But the interaction was very pleasant because there's a lot of cases where they're extremely pleasant. They weren't traumatized. They weren't scared. They were enhanced by what's going on the globe and how the human species can evolve. Questions were asked in some cases and got answered. So the whole 2 hour or 3 hour experience was a very pleasant one. Towards the end of the experience, the ET will say, I'm sorry, we have to take the physical memory away from you from what just took place because it will get in the way of your life instead of the things that you can do to enhance the human species evolving and your part in it when the time is right. Now, these people, in a lot of cases, when it's pleasant, will go, no, don't do that, please. I want to remember all of this. This was great. Don't take it away from me. Here's where ET compromises. And they do this. They'll say, we'll put you back in your car where we found you originally, where we abducted you. You will get to see us leave. So you'll be in your car. You will not have a memory that you just had an abduction experience, but what you will be able to see is this object in the sky and us leaving. So it doesn't surprise me, and what I've learned over the years, again, I'll ask people, have you ever seen a UFO, even if they don't think they've been in the abduction scenario, not to lead them there. And then I start asking these key questions when time allows, and I find, again, they're overwhelmed by wanting or feeling that they have a mission or something to do with the environment and with even with this amnesty thing I'm finding. Again, that's why I did this thing with the book and the DVD at the jim-sparks.com, because what I'm going to be doing, what we're doing with that, is I'm giving an email address out on that where you can write in a paragraph or so
where you may feel led to do, or what you may feel led to do. But to even more so, to answer your questions, your question regarding people that way, I had even did a blind thing when I go to conferences and have given out this a particular email address saying, write a paragraph of people who are abductees, what you feel led you should do. And again, better than 90% of the time, it comes into this environmental issue. So there's meat there. It's real.
Okay, let's take a few more calls. Obviously, time is quickly clicking by. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello, me?
Yes, you.
Okay, I'm Tommy from Seattle, and Mr. Sparks, I wish to tell you that I've had experiences that parallel yours exactly to about 80%. The main difference being no punishment, no sexual abuse, and no learning. My first experience with these aliens who came into my toy shop was in May of 1992. They're 5-foot-high, tall grays, and I've asked them a number of questions, and I would like to get your opinion on the answers they gave me. The first thing I would say was, what did they know about the grays? And they said that they ran into a reptilian colony 60 million years ago that was supposedly from Earth when they first developed their interstellar drive. That's one point. The second thing I asked them was, if you had evolved from a creature on Earth, what would that be? And they replied, termites. Okay, and then I asked them how they did invisibility, and it turns out that their uniforms are infested with micro-artificially intelligent technology. They go a quarter second into the future to achieve invisibility, and mostly as a defense weapon from projectile weapons. And then I asked them about interstellar propulsion, and they said that they do gravity compression where time is suspended to go instantly from one place to the other, and that they use this for communications. And there was an instance where an artificial life form at one time used it as a weapon, and it was immediately eliminated because of that. And I will listen silently for your answer.
Okay. One must bear this in mind, and this is what I've learned over the years, Tommy, is the fact that there are about as many species of extraterrestrials with high technology as there are diversity of life on this planet. My primary interaction has been, as I mentioned earlier, has been with the grays and a little bit with what the scaled creatures are. When it comes to the galactic neighborhood and the different species, there's different technologies. But there's a uniformity there, meaning that once a species or a race crosses a line, then this business with warring, this business with competition, this business with killing each other, this all this other stuff is held at bay. A lot of technologies are similar. A lot of them are extremely different, but they're all doing their own agenda. You'll never hear me say that I claim to embrace alien culture and hug them as my space brothers. What I do know about them is that they have agendas here on this planet. They just assume not to see a messed up planet that's environmentally destroyed as we would. So here we have a common goal. Yes, time is manipulated. There's no doubt about it. Due to lack of time, you could read about it in my work, or maybe George will have me on again. I can tell a nice story about how I was abducted for 2 hours, and when they brought me back, 2 to 3 minutes before I left. And in that scenario, I actually saw myself again. I saw my other self, and it was a phenomena how one phase of time did not interfere with the other phase of time. So that may play a part about how you said they go ahead a quarter second to create this invisibility factor. But once again, there's as much variety in technology and species as there are life form varieties on this planet.
Let's take this wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, it's Bob from Burbank.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, you have one of the top guests on your show right now, the one of the most exciting guys, Jim Sparks, man. God, his story is incredible, and it parallels with a lot of people that have had these experiences out there. Myself, I was with some police officers, and this is one I want to say this one story, and then I ask you a question that's really important. That I was with this police officers, and we all got this orange orb came down, and did some weird, there are humans in this. There weren't aliens in this because we heard them talking in English and I saw the silhouettes of these people. But an orange orb came down and did some medical experiments on myself and three other officers. And one officer was smart enough to put in a report. Obviously, he lost his job. That was a smart thing to do. But what I was saying to them, I said, you know what, maybe it's the CIA abducting us and put all these implants in our, you know, just hypnotized us and made us think this stuff happened. But that was that one incident. But my main question when I asked Jim Sparks is this. In California, the last few months, people have gotten high-resolution photographs of these dragonfly drones. And the writing on the drones.
I apologize. Say that sentence again. I didn't hear it. It broke up a little. Something about drones. Would you repeat?
People are seeing these drones all over California.
Okay.
Yes. Can you still hear me?
I can hear you fine. Go ahead.
Yeah, because I've talked to some people on international phone calls about this. My phone line gets cut sometimes. So I'm going to tell you, the letters that you've been seeing, have you seen the writing on the drones? Did they match?
I like that question. Because I'm really specific.
A minute to go, Jim. Go ahead.
I'm very specific about this aspect of it. I was the block lettering and also our number system was translated into a specific symbolic form that's unique in its own. And there's no question I recognize that whenever I see it. And a lot of times people will present these different things in front of me, and I'm always very candid and very upfront with it because I would like to oblige and say, yes, that's something I've seen when it's not. And one out of 20 or two out of 20 instances, something is presented to me in that form, and I clearly recognize those symbols. I have seen people have emailed me and showed me those drones, and I'm not specifically seeing anything in symbolic form that I can say I can relate to in interaction with the particular beings that I've been dealing with.
Jim, I want to thank you. Would very quickly get your website out, would you please?
It's jim-sparks.com or jim-sparks.com, whichever you're more comfortable with. It's the dash in the middle. And as I said, it shows how you get involved. You can get the book, you can get the DVD, and we put a nice package together, and we cut the price down just for your audience.
All right, very good. Thank you, Jim. And I've got to tell you, very riveting story about the Keepers, an alien message for the human race. I mean, we've heard different angles, but this one is a first, that they are basically out there to save us. For Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Ross Mitchell, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.